mother of Jesus. Mary was with those disciples on the day of Pentecost. We know earlier on in the Acts of the Apostles, it mentions she was united with them in prayer. She was praying with them when the Holy Spirit came. And in fact, it's really interesting to think about who and what was born on that day of Pentecost. What does it mean to say the church has its birthday on the day of Pentecost? And answering that question is so important for us this evening because, of course, we're part of that church. To say that Pentecost is the birthday of the church is to say that Pentecost is our birthday. This is our birthday celebration. And, of course, we have candles and we heard references to gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to suggest to you that we should put Mary at the front of our understanding and reflection of who we are and what we're celebrating today on our birthday as the church. And the reason for that is because the book of Acts, which tells us about the feast of Pentecost, the very first Pentecost day when the Holy Spirit came upon those disciples, parallels very carefully the Gospel of Luke. Luke wrote the book of Acts just as he did his own gospel. And when he talks about the birth of the church through the gift of the Holy Spirit, he is reminding us of an even more important birthday, if you will, the birth of Jesus. And when you think about what happened to Mary, how Jesus came into the world through her, and how she was transformed by the Holy Spirit, we can start to see how we, the church, are also called to be like her. How the Holy Spirit is coming into our lives, transforming us, and through us, changing the world around us. So think about who Mary is when we first meet her in Luke's gospel, a young woman through whom an angel comes and asks the question, "Are you ready to be the mother of the Son of God? Are you ready to do everything and anything that God asks of you, starting now?" And that is a fundamental question, isn't it, for all of us? Think about those disciples on the day of Pentecost. They had no real idea of what lay ahead of them. They were waiting expectantly for something, for someone, but they didn't exactly know who or how this Holy Spirit promised by Jesus was going to come upon them and what that would do to them. They had each one of them, as we do this evening, to answer the question that Mary was asked by the angel. Are you ready to do what God asks of you, whatever it is? And as soon as Mary says yes, we read that the Holy Spirit came upon her. And from that moment till the end of her life, everything that happened in and through her and around her was inspired fully by the Holy Spirit. And you think about those first Christians on that day, because what they did was so improbable. You think about a small handful, maybe a few dozen men and women, young and old, rich, probably mostly poor, educated, not educated. This little group of people who had been disciples of Jesus, who had witnessed his death, and some had witnessed the resurrection directly themselves, including Mary herself. And what were they supposed to do? They were supposed to go toe-to-toe with the Roman Empire, which is, of course, impossible. Can't be done. But because they said yes, just like Mary did, and they received the power of the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost, everything about them was also transformed. And two things that Mary did after she received the Holy Spirit and Christ began to grow in her, taking on her flesh as his own, reminds us of what they did and what we are called to do as well. Because she went with haste to her cousin Elizabeth. It's very interesting that as soon as she received the Holy Spirit and Jesus began to grow within her, she did not become focused in on herself or even this incredible miracle Christ was taking her own flesh, and she knew it. The angel had told her this. Instead, because she was full of the Spirit, because Jesus was growing within her, she was led outward. She went with haste to her cousin Elizabeth. Just like those first Christians did not stay focused on themselves and how amazing it was that they'd received the Holy Spirit, they went out into the streets and began telling everyone about Jesus, about his death and resurrection, and how they could have faith in Jesus as well. They went out into the whole of the world that they knew, the Roman world and even beyond, to share what they had received with haste, just like Mary did. And everywhere they went, they did something that Mary also did. Shortly after meeting Elizabeth, she proclaims the beautiful prayer we call the Magnificat. You find it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And what is this incredible prayer of Mary's about? It talks about, she talks about, how God is going to change the world. Not how Mary is, but how God is going to change the world. And she talks about the world where God casts down the mighty from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. God fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away empty. A world which is going to become more and more the way God wants it to be. And though Mary didn't live to see all that happening in her lifetime, nor did those first Christians, they were inspired to proclaim the coming of this incredible kingdom. The kingdom that we'll only finally see at the end of time, yes, but that is already growing within Mary and growing throughout the life of the church. So two things we could learn about ourselves. Just like Mary and those first Christians, when we are inspired by the Holy Spirit, we're going to go out with haste to people in need, like Mary's cousin Elizabeth. She needed Mary at that moment because she was old and past the years of childbearing, but was now pregnant with John the Baptist. She needed help, and Mary, with haste, went to help her. Filled with the Holy Spirit, we do the same thing. We look for people in need, people who are close to us, people in our community, people we hear about, and we go with haste to them. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we go out, we proclaim the coming of this incredible kingdom. We talk to people about the way God sees us and our world, and the kind of world we need, a world that does not distinguish between rich and poor, between the mighty and the lowly, but lifts up those who are low. We say that's the way that God wants to see the world that we're living in. And we do what we can to help bring that world about, relying not on ourselves and our own strength, but rather on God and the power of His Holy Spirit. So if today is a birthday, and I mentioned, as we know, every time we celebrate the Eucharist, we have candles, just like we have candles on the birthday cake, and we have gifts. What are those gifts? The Holy Spirit gives gifts to every one of us. At least, I should say, offers gifts to every one of us. And it's so important that we pay attention to St. Paul's words in today's second reading. Writing to the Corinthians, he says, to everyone is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. God, the Holy Spirit, is now this evening offering you and me a gift. Maybe more than one gift. But that gift is not for you or me. It's for the common good. For each other. For the church. For the kingdom. For the world. To build others up. And I would like to suggest to you this evening that to really celebrate the solemnity of Pentecost this evening, we all have a job to do, which is to say thank you for the gifts that are being offered us. Now, you may not have an idea of what those gifts are right now. That's fair enough. But if you're not sure, you need to pray and ask others around you to help you to understand what gifts is the Holy Spirit offering you. How are you being called to contribute to the life of the church and our mission to help people in need and proclaim God's kingdom? And for many reasons, understandable reasons, you may feel like this is not for you. You may feel like you're not important enough. You may feel like you're too special. You may feel like you want to be in control of things and not let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. You may feel like you just want to focus on the fun aspects of life. Who doesn't? But really, these are all excuses. Because you are being offered gifts by the Holy Spirit for the sake of the common good. And to really celebrate the Solemnity of Pentecost means that we need to be like Mary. Mary, who is also our mother, and who shows us what it looks like when someone says yes to the Holy Spirit, yes to the gifts that he has given each one of us, and allows the Holy Spirit to change our lives and so change the lives of others. Many things that we are slowly seeing happening here at Holy Family are intended to reflect the power of the Holy Spirit in our parish today, not for our sake, but for the sake of the people around us, people who need to hear God's message and need to see it lived out, people who need someone to bring the message of Jesus Christ to them because they haven't heard it yet, people who need to feel welcomed here in our community, people who need to be touched by the same Holy Spirit who has touched us and our lives. And that's what Jesus was talking about in this evening's gospel. Before he died on the cross, he promised his disciples, he promised us, the Holy Spirit would come. And he says something very interesting. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. They needed to wait. They weren't strong enough yet. Maybe that's how you feel right now. Maybe that's how I feel sometimes. It is. But Jesus promises when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And this is the promise of this beautiful and incredibly powerful Solemnity of Pentecost that we celebrate this evening. This evening with Mary, our mother, we are invited to celebrate, to receive, and to share the power of the Holy Spirit.